Text for our consideration this morning is written in the Old Testament prophet Joel chapter 2, beginning with verse 12 as follows. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. So far, the Holy Word. It's my pleasure and privilege, as always, to bring you an important message about our revealed King, Jesus Christ, to your fellow redeemed. Many people and families have strong traditions associated with this day of the week, with Sunday. Sunday dinner, either at noon or in the evening, is for many people the one time during the whole week when the entire family can strive to meet together in spite of their busy schedules. For some people, the tradition isn't Sunday dinner at home, but a meal at a restaurant. I've noticed that Perkins is usually slammed on Sunday at noon. Some people have traditions more closely tied to the church service. People come early to sit in quiet meditation. People come early to socialize and visit. Some people wear their best clothes to church, and some people don't care as much about what they wear. And in times past, as is mentioned in our text, some would fast on Sunday morning or even Saturday night to help focus their attention on the hearing of God's word. And of course, none of these traditions is either commanded or forbidden in Scripture. We're free to use them or to not use them. But focusing on God and on his son's substitutionary death on the cross is something that God commands us to do. In today's text, the Lord, through the prophet Joel, says, turn to me. Unlike Sunday dinner and unlike suits and dresses, there is good scriptural reason to keep up the tradition of meditating on God's word, because it's through that we receive the forgiveness of our sins, along with many other blessings, not the least of which is the strengthening of our faith in Christ. The holy writer, the prophet Joel, lived probably about 900 years before Christ. His book in the Old Testament deals with a serious problem that had literally been plaguing the land: locusts. Giant, all-consuming locusts had been consuming the land, getting into everything. It was a judgment of God on his people for turning away from him and for losing sight of their covenant Lord. Well, we couldn't really apply this section of Scripture to ourselves if it was just about locusts. The people of God thought their problem was locusts, but it was really sin. The Lord wasn't sending them this plague because it was fun for him to do so. No, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And in our text, he tells them to turn away from their evil ways, to return to him for forgiveness. He says, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. If fasting helps us focus on the Lord, well, that's great. But note that he says, rend your hearts, not your garments. That means be sincere. Don't just give something up because, or follow a tradition because people are watching you and you want to show how pious you are. Really mean it. Return to the Lord your God. Why? Why should we go back to the Lord? He sent locusts to punish us. He's angry at us. Our Lord has given us sorrow for bread, and we work by the sweat of our brow. Nothing comes easy in life. God hates sin, furthermore, and I'm certainly a sinner. Shouldn't I be afraid of him? Why should I cozy up to the one who punished me and might punish me some more? Parents, you have sometimes been afraid of punishing your children because you think they may hate you for it. But even after stern punishment, children return to give and receive affection from their parents once they realized that their punishment was just and their parents loved them, and even the punishment was given in love. The reason to return to the Lord God is that he loves us and he forgives us. Says he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Joel says, slow to anger. Well, God could have caused all of Israel and Judah to fall into the sea, and no one could have said, that's not fair, God. It's the same with us. God gives us life and breath and everything we have, and yet to ourselves, on our own, without Christ, we would spit on him and the idea of him. We would ignore his law and ignore his gospel message of salvation were it not for the faith that he gives us to believe that our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. And so turn, friends, and continually turn to your loving Heavenly Father. Turn and look up to Jerusalem. See your Savior praying and sweating blood in the garden. See him scourged for your transgressions. See him on the tree in agony. And finally, hear him say, it is finished, and know that you have gained eternal life because of his death. Okay, you say, turning to the cross seems like a worthy pursuit. Like the children of Israel, we have sinned, and we'd be lost without our once dying Savior, Jesus. Now, how do I accomplish that? How can I have my faith strengthened and my courage bolstered for this life? Paul says in Romans 10 from our New Testament lesson, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Want faith or stronger faith? Hear the word. Put yourself in the way of the gospel. Worship the Lord your God who has brought you out of your captivity of sin. Where does that happen? It happens in church. Our text continues. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. That's quite a list. The elders, you can never be too old to learn more, and not even the oldest and most pious men and women are without sin. Far from it, and we all need to hear God's word. Notice also it says to gather them. Let's encourage each other, each one of us, to come to church all the time. It's where we hear that word that strengthens our faith. Well, Pastor, the kids don't seem to get too much out of the service. Don't tell me. The text says, gather the children and the nursing babes. They, as much as any, need the strength of the gospel. Pastor, I have to be somewhere on Sunday. This really important thing is keeping me from church. Don't tell me about it. Our gracious Father in heaven has some examples of reasons that are not good enough to keep you away from the chance to praise God and not good enough to bar you from the one thing needful. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. This is telling us that is something is keeping you from church, it must be more important even than preparing for your own wedding. Why? Because you have to be a good boy and go to church? No. Because here you hear the gospel that Jesus died to cover the red blotches of sin you are wearing with the white robe of his righteousness. The gospel is like food and water and even oxygen. Those things help us live on this earth, but the gospel preserves us eternally to live in heaven forever. And it preserves our family, and it will preserve our friends and everyone who hears it. You know what? I never miss church. Pastor, you're paid to be here. That's true, and it doesn't exactly make me high and mighty because our text has some ideas for your pastor as well. Verse 17. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? So I am to weep over God's people and to pray on their behalf. A kind instructor of mine told me to simply get out the membership list and go down it, praying to the Lord on behalf of the members and friends of the congregation. Our Lord has given me the privilege, responsibility for the spiritual oversight of this flock. And this text has impressed on me again the importance of daily prayers on your behalf. Our text closes with a reminder. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. Like any of you parents, our Heavenly Father wants nothing else than to provide for us as we need. First and foremost, strengthening our faith by his word, promising us that our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake, and that we will go to eternal glory thanks to his death on the cross. And also promising to provide for our earthly needs in the meantime. I'm glad for you if you have family traditions that you keep surrounding Sunday worship and family. But I'm also glad when a person happens in off the street, or a church member comes to worship as an afterthought or late. I'm sure I've related in Bible class how, when I was a very little boy, there was a man who came to church every week without fail. He was a baker by trade, and Sunday mornings were his busiest day, and he did come late every single week, and he sat in the back pew, and he left a little early. His pastor, my dad, was always glad to see him and glad that he made the effort to feed his soul, albeit a little late and a little early. Incidentally, we knew he would be there because there would be little bits of flour in that back pew from his apron. It's possible for our traditions to kind of get stale. It's possible for us to start thinking about them as accomplishments. And it's possible for us to be so proud of our accomplishments that we forget why we keep those traditions in the first place. But instead, let's remember to focus on putting ourselves in the way of the gospel so we can hear about our sins being forgiven as often as we can. And let's bring our kids and our parents and our friends so they can hear it too. In Jesus' name, amen. The same peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.